Attention on deck. Legend in building. Attention on deck. Bill Curtis is with us. And Bill is, let me just get the shameless plug in here first, because this is really interesting. You're doing this Decades Presents 1968 series, and you're going to be doing a one a month, right, for the year 1968. Is that what I have?
It was a big year, very big year.
Yeah.
For us in Chicago, especially.
And this is, and obviously this month is MLK. This is the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr.
Wow.
And it's a few days away here right now.
It's worse.
And when you stop, one of my earliest memories as a child was my dad. I grew up in a high rise in Streeterville, and my dad took me up to the roof of the building when I was 3 or 4 years old to see the columns of smoke rising from the west side.
Mm.
It was an unobstructed view going that way. It was just.
I'm old enough to be there. We were covering it, and you couldn't drive into the area. Or there was Roosevelt Road, there was 63rd Street, and there was Madison, without getting your car stoned. But we made a big mistake among broadcasters, because all the radio stations and TV had gotten together and said, "Look, don't report the riot, because it may send a signal to other parts of the city, and they will come join in the riot." Well, long about this time, right now, people were going home from work, and they were driving through the neighborhood. They were being pulled out of the cars and beaten, and the cars destroyed. And from there, I remember on Madison, I watched building after building torched and going up. And torched, they had been filling up canisters with gasoline. Mm. So it was the Molotov cocktail or thrown in the basement primarily. And it went right down the street for 20 blocks. Wow. So, yes, you did see columns of smoke.
Right. And it was, that's when Mayor Daley issued the shoot-to-kill order.
Yes,
right?
For the looters.
The infamous shoot-to-kill for looters in the West Side. And then I think it was a couple of months later, his other utterance, which goes down in history, is the police are not here to create disorder; they're here to preserve disorder.
Right. Right.
And it was an awful moment for the city of Chicago. It was an awful moment for the Chicago Police Department. It was an awful moment just for America. Right. I mean, obviously, the death of Martin Luther King had its repercussions, and it is still felt to this very day. But the actual on-the-street damage, and as you're pointing out, the horror that people went through, whether they were living in the neighborhood and their buildings were lost, or whether they were driving through and they're getting pulled out of their cars, there's swaths of the West Side that have never recovered.
Well, they haven't. A lot of people think that it was Mayor Daley, the elder, who didn't want them to recover because they had hurt his city. So he's not going to go out of his way to rebuild. Well, what are you going to rebuild it with? On Roosevelt Road, you have a huge FBI office. You have new juvenile detention areas.
Right, a lot of government buildings.
Yep. But who's going to go in with an investment in these neighborhoods? Now, drive down 63rd, and you've got to hand it to Harold Washington. New curbs, new streets, which really created some great new neighborhoods. But that was my hope for the Lucas Museum, which was dashed, was that 8,000 minority jobs would be working on it, and like nothing else as an investment could come right there.
That's
from
a great point, Bill. One of the things that I was actually, would upset me and got me kind of riled up during the coverage of that was that fact was often overlooked about the Lucas Museum, because there were so many people weighing in about what it looked like, what these drawings and mock-ups, which may not have ever looked like that again.
No,
and there was so much architecture criticism, which is all valid and legit. And I was like, folks, what about this part here? Or people talking about George Lucas's movies? And I'm like, what you just mentioned, Bill, the jobs. I want to ask you too, though.
Sure.
When you're doing something like this, when you're looking back at 1968, obviously, you're old enough to remember it. Ro and I were kids, but how do you make it relevant to the millennials? How do you tell this story? Because for them, it's might as well be a History Channel or something about World War One or World War Two. It's almost ancient history. So how do you make it relevant for today's, for the younger people who are often involved in their own protests now, Bill?
I go to the Trump gathering at the Forum, down there. Mm-hmm. They were talking about violence. Violence on the floor. And there was an old man who had thrown a punch at a black gentleman who was coming up the stairs, and that was the violence of that. And
I wanted to say, UIC when he was going to make the speech here.
I wanted to say, you don't know violence. Yeah. Why don't you burn the city for 20 blocks? Yeah. That's so you can learn a lot from history. Now, the surprising thing to me for that riot is that only 9 people died.
Hmm.
Some figures show 11. 300 were hurt. That's the city. You know, I rolled into after the Rodney King, during that riot, mm-hmm. well, you had 50 dead. Watts was 50 dead. You talk about columns of smoke. There were 10 columns throughout mm-hmm. South Central. Mm-hmm. That, and they went to every corner.
Were you working in Los Angeles for the Watts riots?
Nope.
Were you here?
Oh, you mean the original?
Yeah, the original Watts riots.
I was here.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Chicago. And what they would do is go into a corner and then burn all 4 corners, mm-hmm. which were usually the retail establishments. And I didn't see, can't remember seeing a lot of neighborhoods burning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here, you wiped out neighborhoods. Now, making that relevant, you know, we didn't learn our lesson not to riot. Mm-hmm. But they were different. Now, why were they different? It may be guns. You know, the number of guns that were available in 68, certainly.
And the type of firepower.
Yeah,
to a big difference.
I hate to think what would happen.
That's true, and of course, just a few months after Martin Luther King, of course, we had the convention here and all the disturbances, and the same thing. I mean, they were horrific, and there was violence. But when you watch film footage, when you see the photos, it's billy clubs against fists most of the time. It's someone might have pulled out a knife, but thank God, you know, there weren't automatic weapons in Grant Park.
From that gathering at Balboa in Michigan, I also happen to be standing on a car. I watched the whole thing.
Basically Forrest Curtis here.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump. Anything that's happened in the last 50 years, Bill was somewhere nearby.
That's really true.
I must never have been on the air. I was out there. But you didn't have a lot of injuries from that. You had some blood, bloody nose, but you didn't hear about the big injuries. Mm-hmm. So we get to the conspiracy trial. I was also at the conspiracy trial. And they were, Foran, the prosecutor, tried to introduce, well, they were throwing tennis balls with nails in them and sacks of, feces. I never saw any. You may have had some of that, but it certainly wasn't in a line and throwing. These guys were sitting down, the demonstrators, mm-hmm. and then they tried to go forward with the poor people's march through the police line, and boom.
That's when it all
happened. It happened.
Now, we should mention that tonight is the premiere of the Martin Luther King special tonight. It's on CBS 2.2. Right, so you can at free air. You just go to 2.2, but check your local listings for cable and satellite.
338
on Comcast. Yeah. It's Bill Curtis presents decades presents 1968 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And this is this month's
special documentary.
And then it moves on to, obviously, you'll have one about the riots, right? Mm-hmm. You'll have one about, will there be one about Bobby Kennedy's assassination?
Bobby Kennedy, I'm not sure we're going to go deep into that, but he was only in June, you know, his assassination.
And we think about 2018, and we think about how wacky this world is right now and how wacky America is. And you have to stop and think about what happened in 1968 between the death of Martin Luther King, the subsequent riots, Bobby Kennedy, who had just won the nomination to become the Democratic candidate for president of the United States. He is at his acceptance speech, essentially, is gunned down. You then have then at the Democratic convention here in Chicago in August of 1968, the riots that changed the world, and then all of a sudden there's Hubert Humphrey's like,
Kennedy's final public words were, "It's on to Chicago," as he said from the podium. "On to Chicago we go."
Right.
And of course, he famously, the night Martin Luther King, the afternoon Martin Luther King was assassinated, he got off a campaign plane. And there was a big rally, and as Bill mentioned, it was a different era. So he had to inform the crowd that Martin Luther King had been assassinated.
We thought the world would never be the same It was a world turned upside down. It was the whole world is watching. Yeah. Remember that chant.
Yeah.
Watch tonight, and it's 3:38 on digital, because we start at this day, the 3rd, when King is getting ready for his sermon in the Ebenezer Baptist Church. And it wasn't Ebenezer, I guess. It was in Memphis. Mm-hmm. But he was going to give the mountaintop speech. And Jesse Jackson was there. And I just heard him in the show say there was something different about it. Mm. He said, I may not be with you in the promised land, but I can assure you we'll all get there.
Let me get your assessment of this, too, because there's been a lot of reporting now, obviously, on the 50th anniversary about Martin Luther King kind of lost his way a little bit in terms of the fire in his belly for what he was doing. You know, the thing had moved. Obviously, the Civil Rights Act had already been passed. The movement was moving in a lot of different directions. Anti-Vietnam War was one of them. He was obviously getting pinged all the time by the FBI in terms of them watching what he was doing and in his personal life. And there were a lot of people around him saying, you know, maybe he was tiring of all of this. And so I have a new perspective on what that meant when he said, I might not get there with you, meaning he may have pulled himself back away from the movement. Am I wrong in a sense?
He had changed in his mission. What do you do if you win the revolution? So he had switched to poverty being a cause, and that's one reason he came here. The Vietnam War was weighing heavily because it was being fought by probably a majority of black soldiers.
Absolutely.
So he came, and Marquette Park, they were throwing rocks down there, and there was a big fear that he was going to be hit, but he was not. But in Memphis, that speech and Jackson saying, it just was like he reviewed his life and reviewed the civil rights movement and then came to that point where he said the promised land, almost as if he is seeing the future.
Wow. Oh, tonight, stuff. Bill Curtis, Decades presents 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. That's on CBS 2.2 or 3:38 on Comcast.
A good memory.
Yeah, I don't really think I do. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks,
appreciate
Bill,
it. Right
always.
Now, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?